Well, I want to take some thoughts that we went over last week and kind of go a different direction with it. We had been looking at the Holy Spirit's leading in our life and how his leading takes us through many different things in this life, even difficulties sometimes. And he works things in us to be able to work things through us, to work things into those around us. And it's that thought I want to take a little further this morning. There is a lone parable, a teaching found in the book of Mark that's not found in the other Gospels. And in it, Mark expounds upon the teaching of Jesus that many of us are familiar with. But he felt the need to take it further than the other Gospel writers did. So I want to look at it in a moment in the book of Mark chapter 4. But in Mark chapter 4, along with Matthew and Luke, we find the parable of the sower, where there is seed, and that seed is the gospel. It's the good news that falls on the different types of ground, which is the hearts of people. And some fell by the wayside where the birds ate it. And some fell on the rocky areas where the roots could not take, and some fell in the thorns that choked it out, and some fell on good soil that produced many times over. It's a great picture of how spreading the gospel works. But right after that, he explains, that is Jesus, what a parable is, because the disciples did not understand what they had just heard, that it is a truth hidden in a story that, if you take the time to listen and think, becomes evident and life-changing. And Jesus, at this moment, is a little disappointed because the disciples did not understand. But what he's really disappointed is that they should have understood. Because watch this, as the followers of Jesus, we should have a basic understanding of when the gospel is planted into people and how that works. And he's saying that if you can't understand this simple thing, then how can you understand the rest? This is the first base principle of his teaching. This is how salvation works. The message is spread and responded to. And not everyone receives it. Not everyone who receives it lets it grow. And because this is so foundational, Jesus explains his teaching even further. And some allow the words to be twisted and taken by Satan. Some don't allow the message to take root in every area of their life, so they fall away when things get hard. And some get too busy and preoccupied with things in life and that they want more than salvation. And they don't produce anything good and lasting with their life. And yet still some hear and accept and apply to produce fruit from their life time and time again. And that fruit produces after itself again and again. And that's who we want to be. And that is a principle in the kingdom of God, that whatever seed is planted produces itself after its own kind. Whatever kind of seed you plant will produce itself. But what is interesting here is that Mark, who, get this, is known for being pretty cut and dry, getting right to the point of things, feels the need to share another small parable that explains a piece of this that the other Gospels do not. They all explain what is happening to a degree, but Mark explains to the Gentile listeners that he's writing to, the non-Jews, the what and how all this takes place in order to give people the base understanding of the works of God. I know that was a lot, but we're going to get into it a little bit more. And I want to dig into that passage in Mark. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. Verses 26 through 29, the fourth chapter of Mark. We're going to read those few verses. It says this. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. I'm going to pray one more time. Lord, I ask that you would anoint the word as it goes forth, that it would be in the demonstration of your power. Lord, that I would not say anything that is not from you, and I would say everything that is from you, and all of our hearts would be softened to receive what you have for us this morning. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I want to look at 3 points in these few scriptures this morning. I want to look at what is the kingdom, what is the scattering, and what is the growing. The kingdom, the scattering, and the growing. And keep in mind, this is not just Mark summing up what Jesus taught earlier. This is a further explanation of what Jesus taught that Mark thought must be shared. So that first point is, what is the kingdom? The kingdom. The kingdom is what is being spread. And that's important to know. So the seed from the earlier parable that fell on all the types of ground is the seed of the kingdom of God. And that word kingdom means rule and realm and royalty. So when the kingdom falls onto somewhere, there falls the rule of God. Did you get that? When the kingdom falls onto somewhere, there falls the rule of God. Because if the kingdom is in your life, then the king is in charge of that life. The king is in charge of that life. That means he rules. And his rule is there, and all his power to rule in righteousness and holiness and authority is there. And not just king over you, but what is allowed in and out of our lives. This is why the seed is sometimes not rooted well or gets choked out. Because watch this, people don't want the rule of God in their life that comes with salvation. The king should be in charge of what is allowed into his realm. And if you are bought at a price, then you are his. Because where then God is our king, he rules over that realm. And that means that God is in charge of everything in your life, that he gets to say in it. Or rather, we have to be listening to what he might say or has already said according to his word. He's not just a dictator who rules with all-powerful fear. He rules in his goodness, in his love, in his mercy, and in his power. While he is sovereign and can do whatever he wants, he allows you and I to be free. But get this. You can be free in his kingdom or outside of it. You can be free in his kingdom, or you can be free to do what you want outside of it. That word means rule, realm, royalty, kingdom. And it's not just God's rule in your life. It's not just his realm expanding through you. It is him being planted in and a part of your life. Because out of himself, he produces fruit in you that is like him. The seed of the kingdom is God in man. Romans 8, verse 9 says this, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There's many other verses along with that. But when talking about the kingdom of God in your life, we're talking about a complete and total rule in our lives, not partial. We're not sharing the throne. We're not sharing and asking sometimes for Jesus to take the wheel. We're not letting someone or something else rule on special occasions. And get this, God doesn't get partial custody on weekends and holidays. If he is king, he is king. Completely and totally. And if you know him, you know how good of a thing that is. It's not a bad thing. Because he's in charge of your future and your safety and your provision and your teaching. And get this, when I think about that, all the implications of that, I think all of us here want to know what our future is. I don't think anyone here is a fortune teller. If not, I'd love to talk with you and get you saved after church. But what I do know is that when the one who knows the future is in charge of my life, then I don't have to worry. Because he knows. You know, this example occurred to me while we were in worship. Last night, my son had a bowl of pretzels. And he came to the last one, and he looked at me and said, "Do you want it?" And when I think about that, he trusts my love for him and my provision for him to give me his very last, knowing that I will continue to provide for him. God knows your future. And because he is who he is, he loves you better than you can love yourself. That's why in Isaiah 12:2, it says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He is also, or has also become my salvation." Psalm 62:1, "Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation." Jonah 2:9, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." When God is king and the king saves you, he saves you completely. You're not perfect, but you are saved completely. Not just your right hand or your left foot. Not just on Sundays or when you have a hard time. If you are saved, this is meant to be at all times. But church, there is fruit of salvation that should be evident in a saved life. And we'll get there in a bit, but for now, God plants in some rough and difficult places. Can you say hallelujah? Some places we wouldn't think or want to plant, but he does. Because when he goes in, he plants his own image there with plans to remake that ground into what it was originally created to be, in his image. Colossians 3:10, "You have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." It's important to know what is being planted. When we are used by God to plant a seed of the kingdom that is salvation in someone's life, it is planting the very image of God and his rule and his salvation. It hasn't come to fruit yet, but it is planted there. And salvation is more than a ticket punch to heaven. It is the ability to go to heaven and be with the Lord. But it is more than that. It is God's ruling authority and power growing in one's life. It is freedom. It is healing. It is deliverance. It is safety and provision and restoration of right relationship with God. Growing in someone's life. God is still at work in all of us. And to the one that has not yet responded to salvation, he is growing a seed of faith in them. And when the kingdom of God is being sown into someone's life, all that is salvation is being sown into their life. They just aren't always grown to a place of producing fruit yet. Church, what kind of kingdom seed have you been planting? There's a question I want to ask myself, but I'll ask you too. Do you want someone to have faith like yours? What seed are you planting? Do you plant a seed that you believe can not just get someone to heaven, but can deliver from depression, that can see healing take place, can see restoration to the plans that God created a person for? Do you believe in the kingdom of God advancing in someone's life? And then do you help water and fertilize that seed? Yes, the kingdom is enough on its own for all of that to take place. But when you plant, plant like it's the full package of salvation, the full seed, that God won't just meet them at the end of their life. He is active in it right now. We have to know and believe in what we are planting. I think we sometimes aren't the best farmers because we don't fully know or believe what we are planting. If a farmer takes some random seed and throws it, he doesn't know what's going to come up exactly. You know, something's going to happen. But watch this. He also doesn't know how to properly take care of random seed. How to water it. How to fertilize it. How to make it ample to grow. I think sometimes, again, that we don't fully know how. But have you ever met someone that is fully invested in a product and they are annoying? I don't know if you've seen it, but does anyone know, and I'm going to get a little valley here. Have anyone seen the flyers, the commercials, the ads everywhere for Renewal by Anderson? Annoying. Every time I check the mail, it is there. But get this, if someone randomly asks me, where do you think I could get all of the windows in my house replaced? I'm going to say, I don't know. Have you tried Renewal by Anderson? Church, when the need is there, people will know. Have you been annoying with the gospel? And you know, others might have it completely wrong sometimes when they are invested so deeply. Look at the extreme people we have today. Some of them have such crazy viewpoints that they don't even logically make sense. But they would willingly lay in front of a vehicle to prove their point. And it makes me think for a moment about the kingdom to which we belong. And the king to which we have pledged our allegiance to, who has enlisted us to take the mission, the spreading of the kingdom of God. How are we doing that? Are we willing to lay our life down? That when God is king, his characteristics will be brought to a place. And he brings those characteristics through us, because he brings those characteristics out of us. That's why when he's king of my life, I start taking on his characteristics. And in his kingdom, there is faithfulness, and there is truth, and there's provision, and there's life, and perfect love, and mercy, and grace, and forgiveness. Do we realize the kingdom that we live in? The kingdom that we can walk in? The kingdom that we plant in others? That when someone is in need of healing, we carry in us the God who heals and his power. Are we walking in the kingdom, or do we just sleep there? That works in a couple of ways. I'm going to let you ponder on that for a moment. Are we walking in the kingdom, or do we just sleep there? Because that's how the kingdom spreads. It spreads not only through the word of God, but in the demonstration of his power and character. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Romans 15, 13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." 1 Corinthians 4, 20, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." And that power is through the Holy Spirit operating in your life. Acts 1, 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." It is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that not only lives in you, but empowers you to spread the whole of the gospel message to salvation. And that's what I want to look at next. In verse 1 of our main text, we looked at what the kingdom is, but now we want to look at how we spread it. The spreading. You have the kingdom, you have the spreading. The word used there is scatter in our translation this morning. To scatter the seed. But what it means in the original language has varying uses. And I like that because in different circumstances, we have to spread the kingdom of God differently. Listen to some of these and think of the application here. It means in various applications, get this, to be more or less violent and intense. I want you to think about that. More or less violent and intense, because the next definition of that is to throw. Sometimes you violently throw the gospel at people. The next one is to thrust. You thrust it into someone's life. But it also means occasionally to lay it down. To lie it into someone. It means to pour it, annoyingly pour it, to put it up into someone's life, to send it. And the last one was to strike the gospel into someone's life. I don't know what that means, but if you try it, you might be from another church. Just kidding. There isn't just one way to spread the kingdom, but do it intentionally. In the way the Holy Spirit leads you to do it. And the Holy Spirit wants to lead you. You are empowered to do this. Some people need a blunt word. Others need a relationship that peels back layers. Still others need a gentle hand that cares. But all of these need you. You know, I had lunch with Pastor Harry a few days ago. And in our conversation, we were exchanging. We had a moment where we got to talk to the waitress, a really nice lady, in which Pastor Harry was able to invite her to church. And afterwards, he looked at me and said this, something to this effect. "This is what we have to get all our people to do. Can you imagine if everyone spread the gospel and invited people to be a part of what God is doing? What would happen? Mark is not only referring to the seed being sown in various grounds. He is also referencing the parable sandwiched between the planting of the seed and our main passage this morning. And in that small parable, where a light is not meant to be under a basket, but on a lampstand. And I love that thought because here it's not just like it's a city on a hill, but it's on a lampstand. One that is familiar enough, get this, familiar enough to use when you wake up realizing that you've been living in the dark. Familiar enough to use when you wake up realizing you've been living in the dark. Earlier we talked about the lack of understanding for parables that Jesus was teaching. And that word parable, in this context, most scholars relate it to like a riddle. Not one that can't be solved, but one that has to be thought about and pursued. And Mark here is taking that thought and saying that like a light being flipped on, they will be able to see what has been hidden. And that seed that had been planted will start growing. Mark keeps going in verse 27 here with an interesting thought about sleeping and getting up. Some of you said, hallelujah, sleeping. But I think he means two things here. One, to go about your day, as in spread the gospel, do your job, and let God work it out. Do not worry with things that are too great for us to understand. But two, it is God who does the work of the actual growing. Don't waste time trying to figure out what you cannot. So be busy with what God has told you to do. Busy planting and watering and nourishing even. And he will do the rest. Trust him. But that brings us to the question of, are we spreading? Are we planting? Are we going? Because that's the job he has given us to do. Church, we still need more able-bodied volunteers in the kingdom of God. Pastor Nick said it earlier, we have trips coming to Kodiak and to Soldovia that need you. This is your moment. You are being called upon to do the very job God created you to do. Say yes to spreading the kingdom of God. Church, we have to get out of these walls because, get this, we don't live here. We don't live here, and neither does the gospel. The gospel lives and resides wherever you are. The gospel lives and resides wherever you are. We're not just spreading a ticket to heaven. We're spreading that God does save, and he does heal and deliver and restore, and he encourages and gives life and joy, and he'll provide and he'll fulfill and he'll make whole. This is the gospel, the power of God. The power of God. We spread a message that deep down every person that has ever existed longs for. Ecclesiastes 3:11, God has set eternity in man's heart. John 3:16, God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish but has everlasting life. Church, everyone, whether they admit it or not, wants this message. They might not respond to it in the way we desire them to. But they need it. They need it. Not every seed will grow, but there will be some that take it and will flourish if we sow it. There was a popular saying, says this, that I will preach the gospel at all times and if necessary use words. And I do like the premise of that thought, to live the gospel out. But in order to share the gospel, you have to use words. God wants you This valley needs you until every soul has heard. What if we had that mindset? What if that was our mantra? Until every soul has heard. And after we sow, we get to watch it grow. We get to be a part of it. And that's the third thing, the kingdom, the scattering, the growing. And this is important to remember. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 through 9. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. We have to remember that we have no place for pride in this. It is only God that causes and designed the growth. And that's what the other part of verse 27 here is talking about. That while you are going about spreading and going about life, knowing that God is working. So that friend or loved one that you've been praying for so long, God is working. And not just to a limited view of salvation, but to all of it. Keep praying that the seed that you planted in their life, that God would save them. Or the seed that God will heal them and restore them. Or whatever else you have been praying for comes to fruition. And know that the whole time God is working. God still works today. Don't stop sowing. Believe that every seed that God has planted can grow. Verse 28 gives us a picture of that sometimes looks like. You might see a blade or a stalk, just a little piece that gives you some hope and lets you know that something is happening there. And then you might see the head of something just beginning to come. It's not producing any fruit yet to repentance, but it is coming. It is coming. And then you finally see the grain or the fruit come out. And I love this thought. Picture this, that God is waiting there. When the grain is ripe for the harvest, it says he immediately picks it. This is Pastor Nick and I's favorite part of this entire message. Like a farmer that gets up knowing this is the day. God does not let it rot. He doesn't pick it too soon. But when the time is come, when it is perfectly time, it happens. And God snatches it up. And I know this passage is talking about salvation, but again, salvation is more than we often give it credit for. And this is a principle found throughout the Word of God, that a seed produces after its own kind, and that begins in Genesis. That's how God created things to be. And the faith that is birthed there, in that seed, can grow. The seed for healing or providing or any other need that you have been praying for, guidance, whatever it is, there is a time for harvest, and it won't be too late and it won't be too early. It will be perfect. And when it happens, God is immediately there to make it happen, to receive it. There is a time. This little parable brings together the passages it is surrounded by. We've talked about the seeds. We've looked about the light that illuminates. But look at this in verse 24 and 25. Right before our main parable, in the light of hidden things being revealed and seeds that had been planted now coming to fruition, to take heed what you hear, that in the same measure you hear, it will be given to you to hear more. And you that hear, more will be given. When that light illuminates the message of the gospel that has been planted in you, and you respond by pressing into that riddle to understand, then God will give you the understanding. And the more you press into here, the more understanding you will receive. Church, God wants you to understand. And this pairs with a parable right after our main scripture, our main passage. The parable of the tiny mustard seed, the smallest known seed to that area in this time period. That even the smallest amount planted can turn into the largest trees or bushes. Even the smallest kingdom seed could turn into the largest amount of faith if you believe. And if you receive and press in to know, even the smallest seed, God will give you the amount of understanding necessary to receive it. This morning, will you receive the knowledge that God is planting faith inside of us to believe for what he has called us to do, to salvation and to every other promise that God has given? He puts faith inside of you, and even if that faith seems so small, according to this passage, it could grow into greatness. It can grow into greatness. Let the faith in you arise to fruition that makes a huge difference and impact. Will you stand across this place as the worship and prayer teams come? If the Holy Spirit is moving on you, maybe you're at a point in your life that your faith feels small. And that might be just faith in salvation, but that might be one of these other seeds that is part of the kingdom of God. Faith for healing. Faith for what you've been praying for. Faith for freedom in your life. The last several days, God has been speaking to me that he wants to move today. And I know that probably sounds like every pastor says it every time. But I couldn't shake that I think God actually wants to heal today. And then we go through songs about God moving and healing. And a word that God wants to make sure your identity is not planted where it shouldn't be. And people responding and the Spirit moving. And I think, I agree with you, Lord. That faith that you put inside of me to see a move of God, to see people respond and be healed and changed and delivered and set free forever. Let's see that happen today. If that is you, if you are standing there at this moment and you know there is faith inside of you to believe for something that has not happened yet, I want to encourage you to come down and pray with our prayer team and let God answer, because he has not changed and he still answers today. If you need salvation, this is your moment. If you need faith, this is your moment. God is speaking to you. Maybe he's calling you to spread the kingdom of God somewhere else. Maybe to spread it in the valley like you have not done before. What God is speaking to you, let your faith be increased this morning. Let it grow this morning. Let faith arise. If that's you this morning, come and let it rise. We'd love to pray with you as we go back into worship.